training your body to be in that moment and entering that flow state, developing the strength, developing the technique. It all comes together into this big ball we call speed. And if you're fast and someone throws a strike, everything slows down. The faster you are, the slower everything moves. Someone can throw a punch that before used to move like lightning, and I will now be able to see it if I'm at that level of speed. It's just how, I don't know why this is the case, but the faster you move, the faster things you're able to see. You just get used to living at that fast pace, right? I can see something moving really fast out of the corner of my eye, and I can react to it. I'll see a punch coming at me, and sometimes it moves in slow motion, and I can get out of the way. So increasing your speed can also increase your reaction time, can allow you to become calm in the moment, and combining these things together becomes the most dangerous. If you're strong, if you're fast, and you can apply those in timing and striking at the right time, you're unstoppable.
Welcome to the Unlimited You podcast. Believing firmly in the limitless potential that resides within each individual, your host, Master Victor Almeida, a distinguished martial arts expert, is here to guide you in unlocking your inner power. Each episode offers practical knowledge, from strength training techniques to the calming practices of meditation, tailored to enhance your physical, mental, and spiritual well-being. Join us on this empowering journey and embrace the warrior that lies within you.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Unlimited You. I'm Master Victor. We're here talking about speed today, the kingdom of speed, and how speed is one of the most important things that you can train and develop in your martial arts journey. Now, strength is really important. Accuracy is really important. We talked about this and how timing is really important. But if you're fast, if you're exceptionally fast, it's really hard to strike you. It's really hard to get away from you. So I prize developing my speed on top of everything else, but I really focus on the speed of the strike. Now, developing speed, it takes time, it takes hard work, and you have to build it with your strength, with your accuracy. Otherwise, you're just going to be flailing strikes out there. Now, developing speed with good form and good precision is really important. You can't just become fast and sloppy. That's not really the best application of speed. When we're building speed, a lot of people, when they start training, they'll want to throw in 100% of their power right away. And what ends up happening is you compromise your form and you throw in more power. You end up, you know, maybe rather than just throwing a good punch, you reach out there really far and then somebody can grab your arm and pull you forward, right? So you compromise your body position and the self-defense aspect of whatever discipline you're training. And our foundational stance is really important. So when we're developing speed, we actually start off slow. And this may be a little contradictory, but it's really important to build the technique as we're building speed. So if I'm building, if we're gonna be working on, let's say, your reverse punch, I'm gonna tell you to send it out maybe 90% of the way, and then the last little bit, you'll turn it out. If we're sending it from the hip, you'll send it straight out upside down the last second. You're gonna do that twist and locking it out and learning the technique first and then making it smooth. Once you can do it smooth without and then stopping there and then pushing it forward, once you can get the full smooth punch, we can increase the speed. So first you wanna do it slow, make it smooth. And once you got it smooth, you can slowly start dialing up the speed. Now what's important is if you start feeling sloppy, is if your accuracy, your body position, your foundation, maybe your hands start going down, keep it at that speed or maybe even dial it back down a little bit and make sure that you have good form. Because if you get sloppy as you get fast, it's kind of pointless. So you want to develop good, accurate, disciplined, technical speed, not just raw speed. There's people out there who have just the raw ability, who have developed speed in other disciplines that will be able to transition into, let's say, a martial arts discipline and be fast right away, but they may not have that technique. So it's important to develop the technique so you don't compromise yourself. Now, speed and strength, they relate very well together. You need to have muscle in order to move fast. You need to have strong muscle. If you look at the world's fastest sprinters, their legs are huge, versus the people who run marathons. Their legs are a little bit skinnier. Their muscles have been conditioned for endurance. Versus those sprinters, their muscles have been conditioned for that really quick burst of energy, letting it all out, and they're so incredibly fast, it doesn't even make sense. Now, you can build speed and endurance, but they're a little conflicting in how your muscles exercise. And this is kind of like really why I like the way that we train. Like, you'll get people who are really big and bulky, they're not flexible and they're not fast. Then you'll get some people who are skinny, scrawny, can run 5,000 miles, but they may not be able to, you know, do a full pull-up, you know, just as an example. And in martial arts, we train calisthenics. And what calisthenics does is allows you to use your body weight and control it while you're doing exercises. And this builds control, this builds speed and mobility. So in our speed, we are working on what's called fast twitch muscle fibers. We're working on getting that muscle to fire really fast. And in order to do that, you have to constantly train your muscles to fire faster and faster and faster. So if you want to work on your speed, and let's say you're like pushing 50% of your speed, you're probably not really going to get faster. In order for you to get faster, you need to push 100% of your speed. And once you get there, your muscles are going to be like, oh, he's trying to use this type of motion and exploding it faster and faster. Over time, it takes time. You have to be patient with yourself. Over time, you'll start to feel yourself getting faster and faster. You'll be able to put in less effort and hit that top speed that you used to be at. And you can be like, oh, I still got way more speed left in me. And that takes a lot of time to train. Now, let's say you've built your technique. You've done it slow, you've gotten it smooth, and then you turn up the speed and you've gotten it fast. And you've kind of hit this block, this kind of plateau, and you're not able to get faster. There are certain training methods that I personally like to use to increase my speed. Now, resistance is gonna be one of the, I guess, the biggest benefits to increasing your speed. I like to go into the pool. Now, I like to do my Taekwondo punches in the pool, throwing maybe 100 punches. Now, I pull back as fast as I can, and I send that punch out as fast as I can. And that resistance, that added resistance underwater, is going to make it harder for you to throw that punch. So then when you get out of the water, that resistance isn't going to be there, but your muscles are used to it. They're used to firing against that heavier, you know, water all around you. So when you go to the air, it's going to be easier. You're going to be faster. Most likely, if you are watching this, you're a fan of like anime or just martial arts in general. Let's say you haven't seen Dragon Ball Z or even Naruto. They use weights in their training. They'll put in ankle weights, you know, wrist weights, weighted vests, and you can get all kinds of weighted things to help add more resistance to your movement. Now, when you get to a certain place of speed, having something on your wrist, like my watch, if I punch full speed, it'll move and it'll actually hit right here on my hand. So when I punch, I usually, and when I train, I like to take my watch off, or I like to have something on me that's very soft, because it's gonna move and it's gonna hit you. And that's one of the hardships of using weights around your wrists, weights around your ankles. It's gonna be on this one spot and you're gonna be throwing that and moving it, and it's gonna jam down into your foot or jam down into your hand, and that can be uncomfortable. It can be downright painful. You might get bruises. This is why I like going into the water. The water is just full on all around you. You're getting that additional resistance and you're still able to maintain that technique without compromising anything, really. It's not painful underwater, it's just harder. And you'll feel that sense of like exhaustion way earlier. Let's say you throw 150 punches on land, you go in the water, you throw 50 punches, you're gonna feel just as tired as long as you're putting in that effort. Another way that you can build speed, let's say that you're working on explosive motion, right? You're trying to become a faster sprinter. Maybe you're trying to work on bringing your knee up, resistance bands, going uphill. Sprinting uphill is one of the most beneficial ways to increase your sprinting speed, because you have additional resistance in that hill and you're exploding the muscles trying to go up that hill. So then when you go to flat ground, that resistance isn't there. You can go a lot faster. And these principles, we take them and apply them to our training. So let's say you've done like 50 kicks and now your muscles are tired. I'm gonna ask you to do fast, good form kicks once you're tired, once your legs are dead, once your muscles are exhausted. And we're gonna build the endurance, we're gonna build the speed of it, and we're gonna teach your mind to say, hey, we are at the limit of our muscles, but we can still push it a little bit. And that's really important. When you're training for speed, is not to just stop when you feel like, oh yeah, this is good, is to keep going. Because that little extra bit of push is gonna give you that much more, I guess, return in your training. Like, let's say you're training for strength. If you do three sets of six, and it's pretty light, and you can go to a higher weight and you don't, you're not gonna be getting the same benefit as if, like, let's say you do three sets of six and it's a really heavy weight, and then that fourth set you can only get three and you go to failure. Going to failure and building strength and speed is critical. You're gonna make so much more gains when you reach that failure point. So when the muscles are screaming at you, when you wanna give up, that's when you need to push. That's when you need to take the extra step forward to go even faster. And you're gonna know that you can do that. And it's gonna give you the confidence. It's gonna reinforce the brain pattern saying, hey, I remember this feeling. This sucks, but I'm okay. I'm alive, I can breathe, I can move, and I can actually push even harder. And it's gonna give you the sense of calmness on the inside. That's like, hey, I'm doing the good work, I'm seeing the results. And it's really important, especially when you're building speed, to do it correctly. And when you are pushing your limits of strength, of speed, with good form, it can be safe. When you don't build your muscles correctly, let's say like you've been working out the front of your legs, you've been neglecting the back, and let's say you have compromised your form, you can actually become more prone to injury. And this is where the slow training, developing good technique, and all around good muscles as in balance, right? We don't wanna have a stronger quad than our hamstring. We wanna have even both in the front and the back, just as your chest, as your lats, in both the push and the pull. It's gonna keep us healthier and in better form. So that way, when we do push, when we do exert ourselves, the muscles that we're using, when they get tired, you're not gonna be relying on a secondary stabilization muscle to push you further. Because a lot of the times when we're really pushing ourselves and you don't have good form, or you push too far past your limit and you don't know where to stop, that's where injury comes in. So training speed, it can be dangerous, but under good supervision, it can be very safe and beneficial. And this takes knowing yourself. It takes you being pushed to that limit to see how far you can go, how far your muscles can go, to then understand, okay, I can hit that spot over and over again. But you don't want to train speed every day. I don't think it's a good idea, in my opinion. And this is because you are exerting a lot of energy in your muscles. You are pushing your muscles to the limit, and you need to be able to recuperate just your immune system, and it needs a little bit of time to recharge. I only train speed maximum 2 to 3 days a week. Ideally, I try to really keep it at a 2-day max. I'll go to the pool, I'll do my high knees, my butt kicks, my front kicks, and my punches. I do all of that in the pool. That's how I get faster kicks. When you get used to throwing a full speed front kick underwater, and then you come out of the water, you're like, oh, I didn't know I could be that fast. But you have to constantly do it, and you'll see amazing increases. Also, high intensity interval training can be extremely beneficial in developing your speed. So this is gonna build your cardiovascular system and optimize your body's ability to take in that oxygen from the air, put it through your lungs, pass it through your heart, and put it into your blood system. That's gonna help you last longer. And that endurance is gonna help you push harder during that time you wanna give up, during that time you wanna quit. You're gonna have more energy. So high intensity interval trainings, things like squat jump tucks, spider burpees, up downs, are exceptional in developing the body's ability. Like when you jump up and you bring your knees, you tuck them in and you land in a squatted position, you're working that explosive muscle in being able to jump, bring the knees up, and land softly. That fast twitch muscle fiber is getting developed during those exercises. When you're doing plyometrics, like push up, clap, land, jumping on one foot as high as you can, those are working on those same types of muscles, those fast twitch muscle fibers, and getting you to really fire them really fast. And that is critical for developing speed. So to kind of cover a little bit of what you need in order to develop speed is, first, you need technique. You need to have technique as a foundation before you step into the world of speed. If you don't have technique, don't go fast, go slow. Go slow, develop that technique, and make it smooth. Once it's smooth, then dial up the speed on land until you can push your 100% speed with that good technique. Once you get to pushing, you wanna work on plyometrics. Clap push-ups, explosive squats, squat jump tucks, burpees, spider burpees. And if you don't know what spider burpee is, when you jump, you just jump and bring your knees up and you land in a squatted position like a squat jump tuck. Up downs, exceptional for this. Getting into those high intensity interval trainings will get you past that initial plateau. Then adding resistance. Maybe you want to do squat jump tucks with some weights on your calves. Maybe you have a weighted vest you want to put on. That's going to weigh your body down and it's going to make you feel slower overall. Maybe not your limbs, but your general body. If you attach the weights to the end of your limbs, it's going to be harder to throw that punch. It's going to be harder to throw that hook punch, to throw that front kick, attaching the weight to the end of the limb. Now, I personally don't like to do that one. There's a lot of trainers who do. You can also add resistance with bands and parachutes. That's also very popular. I really like the whole band idea, especially putting a band around your waist, tying it to something behind you, and trying to sprint or trying to kick with that band attached. Maybe I attach a band to my arm and I'm throwing a punch. That added resistance is going to increase my speed. And then going into the pool. The pool's my favorite. You're in the water. I mean, who doesn't like going in the water? Maybe some people do. But you're in the water. You're getting cooled off. You're exerting an immense amount of energy. And you get tired really fast in the water if you're working on HIIT style training. And I'm a big advocate for training in the water because it reduces the impact on your joints. When I jump, when I strike, it has a lot less impact on my knees. I can train at a higher intensity without doing that potential damage to my body. It's a lot safer training in the water and you get that benefit. And say, especially if you're injured and you wanna train, go in the water. Walk a little bit, walk forwards, walk backwards. Maybe you can start running underwater. Maybe you can do walking front kicks underwater, step, punch underwater. That becomes really important in developing the speed. Now, I've seen the difference in not training underwater and training underwater. And every time I train in the water and I come back on land, everything feels effortless. It just comes out easier. I can strike things faster. It's not as taxing on my body. And that's because I've put myself through a higher intensity training with more resistance so that when I come into this normal world, everything's more relaxed. That's another big key of speed and being relaxed. If you're tense, if you're squeezing all of your muscles and you go to throw a punch, all of this is tight. I'm not gonna be able to launch that punch out with my full force. I'm not even gonna get my full power behind it because I can't send out the speed of my punch. And your speed does correlate to how much power you can direct into your strike. So the faster your strike, the more powerful it is. Now your muscles dictate how much force you can, that's mass, how much force you can deliver through your strike. So the bigger you are and the faster you are, the more power you can deliver through each punch, each kick. But we really have to focus on being relaxed. You cannot be fast if you're tight, if you're super tight. You have to be relaxed. And then the strike comes out of nowhere and it's right back here. But you have to be relaxed. The more relaxed you are, the easier those muscle fibers will fire all the way straight and pull back. And getting used to throwing that strike in a relaxed format and at the very last second, squeezing at the moment of impact and then pulling it back relaxed. That is going to increase your speed significantly, more so than if you do all these other things. If I do all these other trainings, if I go in the water, if I'm doing HIIT style training, if I'm putting bands on myself, and I'm still like, squeezing everything and not relaxing my body, probably not gonna gain speed. You'll see a significant increase in your speed by relaxing everything. You also use less energy, so your endurance is gonna increase. You'll be able to go faster, use less energy, last longer, and then the person you're sparring or whoever you're defending yourself against, they're gonna be like, oh, and in 30 seconds, they're gonna be down on the ground, and you're gonna be looking at them like, what's up? So being relaxed allows you to last longer, allows you to be faster, allows those muscles to fire off faster. And being relaxed also reduces your chance of telegraphing. So sometimes when you punch, people will do a slight motion before that punch comes out, right? And you'll see it. It's like you telling me that you're gonna punch me. Of course I'm gonna move out of the way. But if you can be relaxed, your hands in the right spot, not out of nowhere, it just goes out and comes back in, that's how you're gonna deliver a fast, surprising strike.
At Farah Academy, we believe every person has unlimited potential waiting to be unleashed. Join our academy and discover your inner power through disciplines like Taekwondo, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Muay Thai, martial arts weapons, and more. Our experienced instructors empower you with the skills, strength, and wisdom to become an unstoppable warrior. Train in a focused, inclusive environment where you'll progress quickly. Learn meditation, nutrition, and breathing techniques to develop a balanced body, mind, and spirit. Uncover your true potential and prepare for life's challenges at Farah Academy. Start your journey. Visit FarahAcademy.com today.
And another part of speed that a lot of people, I guess they don't really train it, it's repetition. You have to train speed over and over and over again. You can't just become fast and let it go. You have to constantly build that speed. Just like strength. If you build strength and you take like a month break and you come back, you'll probably find you're a little bit weaker. Same with your speed. If you've trained that speed and you take a big long break, you're probably gonna find you got a little bit slower. Now it's a lot easier once you've developed that speed to come back to developing that the fast twitch muscle fiber, but it takes time and it takes consistency. Somebody who puts in 100% effort and is consistent with their training is going to outpace the person who is naturally faster, who's not putting in as much effort and who's not consistent with their training. I've seen some very gifted, talented martial artists at a young age who just kind of, they got too good too early and they thought they were the best when they obviously weren't. And then their training started to go down and decline and they became slower. And then these people who were a lot slower than them, they kept training. All of a sudden they got faster than them. And then that person was like, what? How did they get faster than me? Well, they were training. They kept up, they were consistent and they applied themselves. They showed up, and showing up for this type of training and it is difficult is extremely important. If you don't do it, you're not going to develop speed. If you stop doing it, you're going to get slower. If you keep doing it, you're consistently going to build speed. And that's very critical. And it comes back faster than I think. And training in your body to be in that moment and entering that flow state, right? And we just talked about this a few episodes ago. Entering that flow state, developing the strength, developing the technique. It all comes together into this big ball we call speed. And if you're fast and someone throws a strike, everything slows down. The faster you are, the slower everything moves. Someone can throw a punch that before used to move like lightning, and I will now be able to see it if I'm at that level of speed. It's just how, I don't know why this is the case, but the faster you move, the faster things you're able to see. You just get used to living at that fast pace, right? I can see something moving really fast out of the corner of my eye, and I can react to it. I'll see a punch coming at me, and sometimes it moves in slow motion, and I can get out of the way. So increasing your speed can also increase your reaction time, can allow you to become calm in the moment, and combining these things together, becomes the most dangerous. If you're strong, if you're fast, and if you can apply those in timing and striking at the right time, you're unstoppable. Now, speed, the Speed Force, Flash, Superman, all those people who are extremely fast, they had the benefit of being able to never be hit. They saw a strike coming. They were able to move out of the way. They could hit somebody 200, 300, 400, 500 times before they even got hit. And that's critical. That's why we say that speed is king in a lot of ways. And if you think about speed and mass together, the more mass you have and the faster it goes, the more damage it's going to cause at the point of impact. So speed is dangerous at the sudden stopping point. When you hit something and it stops, that force goes through the object. And the more mass you have behind the thing that's moving, the more force is going to go into that target, the spot you're impacting. So this is where the people who are big and bulky and heavy, if they are fast, they're exceptionally dangerous because their strikes are going to just be devastating versus somebody who's small and exceptionally fast. They may be able to cause damage, but that mass isn't there. And mass is really important in self-defense. This is why you have weight classes in MMA, in boxing, in wrestling, because weight is a significant advantage in self-defense. And being light and fast is good, but you go up against somebody who's huge and they grab you, that can be a problem. Or you go up against somebody who's huge and they're also fast, that's scary. So in our training, we're building muscle. We're putting on a little bit of mass, lean muscle mass, not chubby fat, so that we can be able to move well. That muscle is going to allow us to move faster. And if we have weight that's kind of dead weight, which is what fat is, it's not being used for anything, it's just storing energy, then what's going to happen is we're going to have to carry more weight without having the muscle behind it to drive that power. And that's really critical. So the bigger you are, the faster you are, the more damage you can cause. That's so important to state that you have like rail guns being developed in the military that can fire a iron rod from space and do the same level of damage that a giant nuclear weapon can cause because of the speed that it can be delivered at. So think about that. The stronger and faster you strike, the more force you're going to put through your limbs. So you also have to reinforce your limbs. You have to get used to punching at that speed, used to hitting something without the knuckles, without the wrist buckling, without your shin buckling. So as you develop speed, you have to develop the endurance of the body and striking hard things. So we strike wood with the shins, with the forearms, with the knuckles, with the inlet of the foot. We are striking hard things to develop the endurance and the strength in our bodies to withstand the impact. Getting hit in the stomach repeatedly and learning to take impact is also critical. The more mass you have, the harder of bone, and the bone density becomes really important in delivering that strike. The more power and damage you can deliver through each technique that you do. So when you're developing speed, don't forget to also develop your body, because when you throw that fast strike, you're going to be delivering more power. Even if you didn't get stronger, that speed increases the amount of force being delivered through your target. So it becomes critical to develop your limbs, the strength in each joint to withstand that impact. And when you're learning speed, be patient with yourself. It takes time. It's just like strength. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes a few months for you to develop the speed. And once you do, you're like, oh, I'm fast now. But there's levels to this. You may think you're fast, but there's somebody faster. I may think I'm fast, but there's a lot more people faster than me. I know. And that's just the truth of it. And if you're the fastest at punching, maybe there's somebody faster at kicking. Maybe there's somebody faster at footwork, right? So there's different places that you need to develop your speed. It's not just your punching, it's not just your kicking, but it's your footwork. Your footwork is so critical. If you can get out and get back in before they can even see you, wow. So footwork keeps you safe. That's one of the most important things in Taekwondo, is how we move. Stepping forward, stepping back, side shuffling, A-stepping, lunging forward, All of these different moves keeps you safe, and then you can use your strike, right? Maintaining distance with our speed. That's very critical. If you're small, going up against somebody's big, let them throw a strike. Get out of the way, get in, throw one, two, three, and then get out so they can't grab you, so they can't pummel you down into the ground, right? So use what you know, what your strengths are against someone else's strengths. I'm going to be going more into how we apply the strength, the speed, and all of this in a self-defense aspect in a few different later episodes. I hope you all enjoyed. If you have any questions about speed, how it applies, how to develop it, let me know. I'm going to be sharing later on these podcast specific drills that we do. I kind of went a little bit into it, and like going into the pool, doing squat jump tucks, punching in the pool and things like that, doing band exercises. We're going to be showing you a little bit more detailed information later on, and like how these things are actually working, how they're, you know, developing your muscles, what to focus on, the hardships of training in certain areas. But when you train speed, please make sure that you're doing it carefully. When you push your limits, you become more prone to injury because you're essentially refining the line between safe training and injury. And you're walking this tight path. And the faster you get and the stronger you get, the narrower that gap gets. So you have to be very aware of your body. So train hard, push yourselves, but give yourself time to rest. That's really critical. Your ligaments, your tendons are not going to heal as fast as your muscles. And when you're firing and delivering really heavy loads, you need a little bit more time to let it heal. And this is where our training kind of hits different parts of your body at different times of the week, so that we do legs on one day and we let them rest for 2 days. We do arms the next day, we let those rest for 2 days. Then we do core, and then we do a full body workout. That's so we can give each muscle group time to rest. The rest is really important. So train hard, give yourself some resting time, take care of yourself, subscribe, like, and we'll see you on the next episode of The Unlimited You. And if you want to get some more information, check out farahacademy.com/you to find out more information. See y'all later.
Thank you for joining Victor and Andy on The Unlimited You. Make sure to visit our website, www.farahacademy.com, where you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, or via RSS so you'll never miss a show. If you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes. Or if you'd simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out too. Be sure to tune in next week for our next episode.